I'm very glad to be back from our vacation. We had a great time, and for those who don't know, we actually traveled to Irvine, California. The Hyuns, one Hyung and Susie, who were members here at the church, one got a job down in Irvine, and so we were able to drive down and visit them and made a couple stops along the way down there and on the way back. So by the time we left West Fargo and made it back, our trip meter said 4,075 miles. And that was with our three little boys who are all currently under the age of five. So as you can imagine, there were some challenging times, but through the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, as Haley and I prayed every day, we'd have extra grace quotient and patient quotient, and got towards the end of the day, and I was just able to pound through the last 2 hours as Jude is telling us very clearly how upset he is to be in that car seat. And I'm like, have you guys ever been like around a crying baby for like it's like over an hour? Just, wah! I mean, it like really like sucks your emotion. I'm just like at the wheel, oh Lord, give me grace. Oh, that hotel is gonna be so, you know, it's like think happy thoughts. Oh, I just love these kids. And, you know, Haley was a superstar. She had, like, little activities planned out for, like, certain segments of the trip. Like, okay, at this time, we're going to do Mad Lib. And at this time, we're like, are you my wife? You know, I'm the type A organized person, you know, the planner. And she had all this stuff planned out. And here's a cool place we could stop in this town if that happens to be a good place to stop. I mean, so she did, like, all this research. And we ended up using maybe a third or half of it, you know. But I was like, wow, that was awesome. We had like little special toys that we'd reveal at certain times. And we had a little song that we did every time we went into a new state. So it was new state, oh yeah. Maybe you guys saw some of that on Instagram. Anyway, but it was really good for our family, you know. And it was great to see the Hyuns, and so a good time. But I certainly did miss everybody. And as Tyler said, at our prayer meeting last Monday when we got back and I was with my church family, you know, at our prayer meeting, I just realized like, wow, this is so great to be back with these people that I love, that God has called me to live life with. So I'm just so thankful for each of you. And I'm so thankful for the Word of God and how it instructs us, and it instructs us together, and how we can use it to encourage each other and sharpen each other. And I trust that's what God's going to do with us this morning as I continue on with this message out of James. So I'm just going to pray once again right now that God speaks to our hearts, mine included. Father, we thank you for this time that we can look at your word. Thank you for the Bible. What a precious treasure your word is. Lord, I pray that we wouldn't take it lightly. Help us to remember, Lord, the Bible is illegal in many countries, and yet we have such easy access to it here. Lord, I pray we wouldn't take that for granted, that we would enjoy your word, that we would love your word, that we would listen to it, we would read it, we'd study it, we'd memorize it, we would obey it, we'd think about it when we fall asleep. Lord, I pray you'd speak to us now through your word as you wrote through James. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So a quick recap of where we've been so far, and I'm going to be moving along pretty quickly. There's only 6 verses I think we're going through today, but man, there was just a lot that God spoke to me as I was preparing this message. And so anyway, but just a quick recap. So James part 1, which was chapter 1, verses 1 through 17, the big idea was find joy and remain steadfast during the testing of your faith. And that was a while ago, so we're just doing a little refresher course. So I hope that's going well for everybody. I'm sure everyone's gone through some kind of trial or testing of their faith, but find joy and remain steadfast during the testing of your faith. James part 2, which was chapter 1, 18 through 27. Hear the word, receive the word, do the word. That was the big idea. Hear it, receive it, do it. James part 3, chapter 2, verses 1 through 13. Don't play favorites. Show impartial love. We're going to touch on that a little bit again as James mentioned that again. Don't play favorites. Show impartial love. James part 4, the big idea was live out your faith by your good works. Live out your faith by your good works. We're going to be talking about good works again a little bit this morning. That was chapter 2, verses 14 through 26. And then the last time I preached out of James, that was James part 5. The big idea was guard your tongue, guard your life. Guard your tongue, guard your life. And that was chapter 3, verses 1 through 12. Today is Wisdom from Above. This is James chapter 3, verses 13 through 18, which Tyler read already. A couple of the main verses we're going to be highlighting. One is going to be James 3, verse 13. Who is wise and understanding among you? By his good conduct, let him show his works in the meekness of wisdom. Another key verse this morning will be Proverbs 11, 2. When pride comes, then comes disgrace, but with the humble is wisdom. In Proverbs 15, 33, the fear of the Lord is instruction in wisdom, and humility comes before honor. And there's a lot of people in our world today that I think the opposite of that, right? I mean, they've got to elevate themselves to want to feel honored and respected, and it's really the opposite, and we're going to talk about that. So the big idea, if you remember anything from this morning, as you're out later watching these jets zipping across the sky. That's all I heard Thursday downtown at the Prairie Den. I was working down there. I did some TEDx stuff. And then, like, man, it was like every 5 minutes I'd hear this. Like, I think the room even rumbled a little bit. A couple of times, like, I'm like, whoa, there's the Blue Angels. There they go. Wow. So anyway, so as you're hearing that roaring this afternoon and sitting on the B-Dub's balcony or... Taylor going to do that? He was talking about that, right? Yeah. He decided not to. Okay. Anyway, you know, Buffalo Wild Wings has got the rooftop, so I'm sure that'll be packed. That's right by the airport there. And I know there's some other get-togethers going on. But anyway, if you're listening to that, sitting down for dinner, whatever you do later today, the one thing to remember, so get it in your brains, hear it, see it. It's on your bulletin. If you remember anything from this morning, true wisdom is lived out by the Spirit. True wisdom is lived out by the Spirit. And I believe and trust that everyone in this room wants to have true wisdom. Is there anybody in this room that would like to go out the door having false wisdom today? Please raise your hand. Anybody want to have false wisdom? Like you're living a fallacy? Okay, good. So if we want to have true wisdom, let's hear what God's word says about that today. All right, just a real brief introduction. So James now discusses the difference between true wisdom and false wisdom. And regarding wisdom, he isn't thinking of how much knowledge a man has. This is really commonly confused even today. People think wisdom is someone who knows a lot of things. That's not true. It's not how much knowledge a man has, but how he lives his life from day to day. That is wisdom, how they take that knowledge and they apply it to their life by how they live. It's not the possession of knowledge, but the proper application of it that counts. So we will look at the portraits of both a truly wise man and a worldly wise man is what we're going to look at today. So in your bulletin, point one there, what identifies real wisdom? And I just left a lot of room for you to write down anything that kind of sticks out to you. When we do our family devotion time, we do the Proverbs of the day. So today is Proverbs 29, and then we go through it. And so, hey, Josiah, which of those Proverbs stuck out to you? And then usually it's like the last one that we just heard, like, oh, yeah, that one's, or I'll say, well, the one that stuck out to me was, you know, such and such. And like, oh, yeah, that one stuck out to me, too. And then James is like, yeah, I like that one. So, but we're trying to get him in that habit of actively listening and being able to think like, okay, what stuck out to you? So I encourage you guys to do that. Be listening for at least one or two points under each of these headings, you know, something that the Lord speaks to you. So once again, this point will be based on verse 13 of chapter 3. Who is wise and understanding among you? By his conduct, let him show his works in the meekness of wisdom. Now, the better question is, who identifies real wisdom instead of what identifies? That would really be the better question for this point. And that would be the person of Jesus Christ. Of course, Jesus Christ is wisdom. He is wisdom incarnate, the embodiment of true wisdom. We see that in 1 Corinthians 1:30. If you want to know what real wisdom looks like, just look at Jesus. And I know that sounds like one of those silly Bible school answers. It's like, Jesus, that's right. Who made you? Jesus. Who loves you? Jesus. But it's true. If you want to know what true wisdom is, look at Jesus. According to this verse, verse 13, there are two elements that must be present to identify real wisdom. So one, there must be good conduct, good works. So if someone's got real, true wisdom, There's got to be good conduct or good works. Okay, so actions speak louder than words. We know that. So this should be present first in our lives before we even open our mouths to teach wisdom to others. We need to be demonstrating, practicing what we preach. I'm sure you've heard that saying before. Titus 2:7 says, show yourself. Now, once again, God is a God of order. And I believe this verse is listed in order in a specific way. Show yourself in all respects to be a model of good works, and in your teaching show integrity, dignity. It doesn't say teaching and then good works. It says good works and then teaching. Isn't that interesting? So show yourself in all respects to be a model of good works first, and then in your teaching show integrity and dignity, as it says in Titus 2:7. The other element that identifies real wisdom, number two, is that there must be meekness or humility. Okay, there's got to be meekness, humility. Now, maybe I heard this somewhere before. I don't know if I did, but it just kind of came to me and I wrote it down. So if I copied somebody, I'm sorry. Meekness doesn't mean weakness. Humility doesn't mean fragility. Meekness does not mean weakness. Humility does not mean fragility. Meekness is having the self-control to constrain or limit your power or knowledge when it's fitting of the circumstances. So you have power that you could exercise, but you choose to hold it back. That's what meekness is. Okay? Humility is to count others more significant than yourselves. Philippians 2:3. And then if we take a look at Proverbs 11:2 here, when pride comes, then comes disgrace, but with the humble is wisdom. With the humble is wisdom. Proverbs 15:33, the fear of the Lord is instruction in wisdom, and humility comes before honor. And to be honest with you, Christians here this morning, as I've grown in the Lord and become more spiritually mature, and I've got a long ways to go, but it's sometimes amusing to me when I notice people, especially those that are not in Christ, and how they're doing these things, and I used to be one of them. They're doing things to impress others, to elevate themselves. They brag about themselves, and in reality, I see how it really causes disgust in the people that they're trying to impress. I mean, who likes someone that's always bragging about themselves? And I'm getting ahead of myself here, but the Word of God says, you know, humility comes before honor. You know, if we just listen to God's Word, and isn't that an attractive thing when, you know, when someone is praised and then they're so humble about it, like, oh, yep, I did such a great job. I've been practicing, blah, blah, when they're humble about it, isn't that just amazing? You're like, wow, that person's just like, what a kind, genuine person. You know, I think people are deep down are attracted to humility, but the world would tell us otherwise. You've got to blow other people out of the way if you're going to, you know, survival of the fittest, you know, all that kind of stuff. Anyway, all who are truly wise will have the hallmark of good works coupled with a genuine humble spirit, just as our Lord Jesus did, right? He is the personification of wisdom. He was not proud or arrogant, but he was meek and lowly in heart, Matthew 11:29. He was a servant of others. The works he did made his wise identity evident. So we see Jesus living out this verse, John 10:25. Jesus answered them, I told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name bear witness about me. So we could see Jesus' wisdom through the good works that he did. Jesus further confirmed his great wisdom and who he is through his humility. This is one of my favorite passages. Anytime someone, myself included, is having a difficult time humbling themselves, if there was anyone who could have pulled the trump card or the power card, it would have been Jesus. He's God. He created us, right? And yet, look at what this verse says about him. Philippians 2:7-8. But emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Put yourself in Jesus' shoes for a minute. Can you imagine existing in eternity in perfect harmony and relationship with God the Father and God the Holy Spirit. So that's all he's ever known for eternity. You know, it's just this amazing relationship. And then, he's sent to earth, and boom, he's got a human body. He feels pain. You're in like the comfort of like paradise, perfect heaven for all eternity. And then all, you know, we're used to it. That's all we've ever known. You know, we were born into this world. You stub your toe, you get cuts. It's like big deal. But that had never happened to Jesus before. I mean, so just even leaving his throne in heaven was humbling, let alone allowing the people that he created to spit in his face, punch him, flog him, rip his beard out, make him carry his own cross, nail him to it, mock him while he's hanging on the cross. And yet he still says, Father, forgive them. That is humility. So the next time any of us has a hard time humbling themselves, look to Jesus and think about what he did. And if Jesus can do that, certainly I can humble myself for a foolish word that I said to somebody or some whatever. You know, it's because whatever you have to do to humble yourself will never be as big as what Jesus did for us. And certainly we can do it through the power of Christ. And that shows wisdom. So the answer to James's question that he asked in this verse, James 3:13, who is wise and understanding among you? One who lives a life of good works and humility. That's who's wise. One who lives a life of good works and humility. Okay, point two. So wisdom, the true and false. Point two. Let's take a look. What does false earthly wisdom look like? Turn on your TV. Go online. It's not hard to find, but we'll talk about it. James 3, verses 14 through 16. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast and be false to the truth. This is not the wisdom that comes down from above, but is earthly, unspiritual, demonic. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there will be disorder and every vile practice. Oh boy. All right, well, let's get into this. So there's two main factors that characterize false earthly wisdom or the worldly wise man. So number one, bitter jealousy. So that's the first characteristic that's listed. One is bitter jealousy. So this person is jealous of any competitors and is ruthless in dealing with them, hanging on to bitterness. In allowing oneself to become jealous, it actually proves that they are not wise, but simple. They have a false wisdom. How do we know that? So did you hear what I said? So when someone allows themselves to become jealous, that proves that they are not wise, but in fact are simple. They have a false wisdom. Let's take a look at Job 5:2. Surely vexation kills the fool, and jealousy slays the simple. Jealousy does not slay the wise. Jealousy slays the simple. If you've succumbed to jealousy, you're being a fool. I mean, that's what this verse says. God tells us that. So if we want to be wise, we have got to learn how to slay jealousy and not be slayed by it. The second characteristic of false earthly wisdom is selfish ambition. Selfish ambition. So one who demonstrates false earthly wisdom has one passion in life: to advance his own interests. Okay? So that's what they want. Selfish ambition. Me, me, me. Mine. How can I make myself look better than everybody else? Once again, this is contrary to how the Bible instructs us to live. Philippians 2:3. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. That's how we're called to live. A worldly wise man is also very proud of his so-called wisdom and loves to boast about all the successes that it has brought him. You know anybody like that? Maybe. People they love to talk about themselves, how great they are, how successful they are. However, let's take a look at Proverbs 26:12. Do you see a man who is wise in his own eyes? There is more hope for a fool than for him. When we think we're the bee's knees, there's more hope for a fool than for you. When we think so highly of ourselves. this kind of boasting is empty. And in doing so, this false earthly wisdom causes one to be deceived, living and believing a fallacy. So once again, back in verse 14, but if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast and be false to the truth. That's like being deceived by the truth, okay? So if we take a look at the next slide here now, Proverbs 14:8, the wisdom of the prudent is to discern his way, but the folly of fools is deceiving. And that word folly in there, I think we could probably equate to false wisdom, okay? It's deceiving. And we can look around. I was on campus one time. I try to go there, probably at least, every 2 or 3 weeks during the school year and have some kind of a presence, a godly presence on campus. And this one guy, this one time, we were talking about truth and absolutes and things like that. And I looked at him and I said, okay, what is going to happen if I drop this pen? What's going to happen? Well, and he goes on this thing, like, my brain would look at that and tell me that it's falling, but I can't actually really know that because your reality might be different. And he went on like just this long, and I was sitting there like just listening to him. I'm like, and I said, you know what? If I drop this pen, it's going to hit the ground. There is a law of gravity, whether you think it's real or not, or it's in your reality or my reality, it's going to fall and hit the ground. That's absolute truth, but I was just amazed at it. And he thought he was so wise. He thought he was so wise that he came up with this higher level of thinking that was far beyond what so many scientists have discovered hundreds and thousands of years before him. And I was just amazed, but he believed he was right. He was deceived. He was deceived. The folly of fools is deceiving. There's so many ideas in this day and age like, wow, this is so great. And it's foolishness. It's foolishness. And we as Christians, that's why we've got to know the Word of God so well. Because if we don't, we will get sucked into the lies of this culture. The best way to spot out a lie is knowing the truth front and back. That's the best way to recognize lies in our culture. We've got to know God's Word. Satan knows God's word. Every time Jesus was tempted, Satan even used the verses of the Bible. Surely your foot will not strike a stone. Throw yourself down. Satan knows what the word of God says, and he uses it to twist it. So we need to know exactly what the word of God says. James uses three words to further identify false wisdom in this passage. So the first word he uses is earthly. So it's not from heaven, but from this earth, okay? The second word he uses is unspiritual. Not the fruit of the Holy Spirit, but of a man's lower nature, the flesh. So once again, we're talking about this is identifications of false wisdom. It's earthly, it's unspiritual, and then third, he uses the word demonic. Whew. Anybody kind of get, demons, well, I don't want to talk about that. Ugh. They're real. They're active. They want to kill you. It sounds kind of funny, but it's true. They want to destroy you, okay? And they are very real. Demonic. So it stoops to the actions that resemble the behavior of demons rather than of men. It is a wisdom that is influenced and perhaps at times controlled by demons. This is a personal thought, but it would not surprise me if we were able to put on spiritual glasses, they've got like 3D glasses, things like, if we could put on like spiritual glasses and see the angels and demons that are like behind the scenes, it would not surprise me one bit if I were to walk to the NDSU campus and see with these spiritual glasses, demons that are just clinging on the backs of some of these professors, whispering into their ears, tell the students this, tell them this. Wouldn't surprise me a bit. Wouldn't surprise me a bit. It's false wisdom. Earthly, unspiritual, demonic. We mustn't underestimate the damaging power that jealousy can have. Moving back to jealousy, let's take a look at Proverbs 27:4. Wrath is cruel, anger is overwhelming, but But who can stand before jealousy? Wow. Think of the last time that you saw someone that was just like full of wrath and anger. That can be really scary, can't it? Like when you see somebody that has lost control and they're full of wrath and they're full of anger, they're yelling, maybe even becoming violent. Now, isn't it interesting, this verse, wrath is cruel, anger is overwhelming, but who can stand before jealousy? You see that? This is saying that like jealousy is even more powerful and scary than wrath and anger. We have got to be on our guard against jealousy. And where jealousy and selfish ambition are present, there is a whole realm of other sins that will be present with them. Much of the sexual sin in our culture today is rooted in bitter jealousy and selfish ambition. It's rooted in bitter jealousy and selfish ambition. And I know that firsthand from relationships that I have with some people. And I know they have so much bitterness, and it has affected their sexuality. And it's saddening. It's very saddening. Let's take a look at this. If you don't believe me, let's look at the Word of God. Galatians 5, 19 through 21. Look at all these sins, and jealousy is listed right in the midst of it. Now, the works of the flesh are evident. Sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. And that's those are the things that are around false wisdom, bitter jealousy, selfish ambition. We have got to be on our guard against those sins. Okay, and then last point, number three, what does true wisdom from above look like? So here's the good news, right? It was like, oh, wow. Okay, yeah, let's. Enough of this false wisdom. Give me the good stuff, Pastor Paul. All right, here it is. This is what true wisdom looks like. Let's take a look at James 3, 17 through 18. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial and sincere. And a harvest of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. So let's talk about these. This is what we want our minds to be dwelling on. We want what we want to be thinking about. You guys probably know that verse in Philippians 4:8. Therefore, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, whatever is excellent, praiseworthy, think about such things. Okay. So let's talk about each of these characteristics here. So this is the wisdom from heaven, wisdom of our heavenly Father, wisdom to us from the Spirit through Jesus Christ. True wisdom is characterized in this way. So number one, pure. It's pure. And for these next slides here, I'm just going to have the Word up there. I do have some verse references you can write down, but they won't be up on the screen. So the first one is pure. So in thought, word, and deed, it is clean. Okay, so this is true wisdom. It is undefiled, unpolluted by the ways of this world in doctrine and practice. So it stays pure away from the defilements and pollution of this world. Okay. Psalm 119:9 would be a good cross reference for this. How can a young man keep his way pure? By guarding it according to your word. So once again, if we want to be pure, if we want to live a pure life, we've got to know God's word. We've got to read it. We've got to study it, memorize it, meditate on it, and obey it. It's got to be in us. And don't forget, John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Not like God, as some cults have purposely misinterpreted that verse. The Word was God. Jesus is the Word. Every time you open your Bible and read it, you are experiencing Jesus. Isn't that amazing? Sally Lloyd-Jones has done a great job of capturing Jesus throughout the whole Bible in the Jesus Storybook Bible. We read it to our kids. It's really cool. Anyway, so if we want to be pure, if we want to have true wisdom, we've got to guard our ways by the Word of God. Peaceable. A wise man loves peace. A wise man loves peace. He will do all that he can to maintain peace without sacrificing purity. Okay? I'm going to talk about that in a minute. Knowing this is more important than winning an argument. So if you want to be truly wise, you elevate peace far above needing to win an argument. You pursue peace first. You're peaceable. Martin Luther tells a story of two goats that met on a narrow bridge over deep water. Now, this is really interesting. I hope this really captures what I'm trying to tell you through this little analogy. So there's two goats that meet on a narrow bridge over deep water. They could not go back, and they did not dare to fight. And then this is a quote from Martin Luther. After a short parley, one of them lay down and let the other go over him, and thus no harm was done. The moral is easy. Be content if your person is trod upon for peace's sake. Your person, I say, not your conscience. End quote. Isn't that amazing? Amazing story. So which was the wise goat between the two? Which one was the wise one? The one who lay down for the other. He pursued peace over winning. And in doing so, he saved both of their lives. Because he chose to submit, to be humble, to be at peace, and he let the other one walk over him. Was it painful? Probably. Have you ever had a hoof in your back before? Thankfully, I never have, but maybe some people have. Did it feel good? Probably not, right? But then after he went by, the goat got up and they both went on their ways. I mean, so one had to make a little sacrifice, but they both lived. And that's what peace does. Gentle. True wisdom is forbearing, not overbearing. True wisdom is forbearing, not overbearing. It's courteous, not crude. A wise man is respectful of the feelings of others. A great verse that our family has memorized, and is good for me, because I have a tendency to speak harshly. Proverbs 15:1, a soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. A soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. So true wisdom is gentle. True wisdom is open to reason. Wisdom from above is open to reason. So this means willing to yield, approachable, ready to give in when truth requires it. The opposite is obstinate and adamant. Anybody know any obstinate and adamant people? I think we all do, right? You might be one of them. I might be one of them. But we need to be open to reason if we're going to have true wisdom. Proverbs 12:15, this is a great verse for this. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but a wise man listens to advice. You have a hard time taking advice from others? You need to grow in true wisdom. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but a wise man listens to advice. Proverbs 12:15. Another good one. This is Proverbs 28:26. Whoever trusts in his own mind is a fool, but he who walks in wisdom will be delivered. Proverbs 28:26. And as Pastor Bob has said, one of the number one complaints that a wife has against her husband in marriage counseling is he won't listen. He won't listen. That's like one of the number one complaints that, you know, Bob and I have talked, and he shared, you know, little tidbits about marriage counseling. It's like one of the number one things a wife says against her husband: he won't listen. He won't listen. We've got to be open to reason. We've got to be able to listen. May that not be so of us. Then we would be open to suggestions, open to discussing things, that we wouldn't have that my way or the highway mentality. Another part of true wisdom, just about done here, full of mercy and good fruits. Full of mercy and good fruits. Mercy toward those who are wrong. Because sometimes we will get in conversations and with our wisdom, like we really are right about this situation. So we need to have mercy toward those who are wrong, desiring to help them find the right way. So instead of starting an argument or causing strife, what's a way that we can grant that person mercy and gently lead them to the truth? Okay, so true wisdom, it's compassionate and kind. Remember the great mercy that we have been shown. Psalm 69:16. This won't be on the screen, but I'll read it to you. Psalm 69:16. Answer me, O Lord, for your steadfast love is good. According to your abundant mercy, turn to me. God's mercy is so abundant. And certainly we can have mercy towards others. And Galatians tells us about good fruits, right? Galatians 5:22-23. But the fruit of the Spirit is, and some of these verses, it's hard for me not to sing them because we've come up with these, you know, verse songs. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Galatians 5:22-23. Anyway, sorry. Fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. When you see somebody with those fruits and those qualities, that's a wise person. That's true wisdom. They've got good fruits. They've got good fruits. Next one, impartial. So like I said earlier, one of the big ideas was show impartial love. You know, don't play favorites. That was from another chapter. But here James brings up that word again, impartial. So true wisdom does not produce favoritism. True wisdom does not produce favoritism. It is impartial in its treatment of others, which is what James part 3 was all about. Don't play favorites. Show impartial love. James 2:1 was a good verse for that. James 2:1. My brothers, show no impartiality as you hold the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory. And then last quality here. What does true wisdom from above look like? It's sincere. It's sincere. Wisdom from above is without hypocrisy. It is genuine. It does not pretend to be other than it actually is. 1 Timothy 1:5 is a good cross-reference for this quality. 1 Timothy 1:5. The aim of our charge is love that issues from a pure heart and a good conscience and a sincere faith. And that's my prayer for each of us at Submerged Church. When people walk through this door, that we don't try to put on facades or anything, that we are the real deal, that we're just real, authentic Christians that love each other. We help each other out. We realize we're not perfect, but we're merciful and gracious towards each other as we live life together. And we want to be sincere in that. Anytime I see this word sincere, I think of Linus from The Great Pumpkin, Charlie Brown. He's like, look all around. Sincerity is all around. This is the most sincere pumpkin patch anyone's ever. Surely the great pumpkin will come and visit us. Anyway, that's a little aside. Moving on. James closes the chapter by making a connection between what we just learned, that true wisdom is peace-loving, and then what is to come in the next chapter. So this where we find conflict among God's people. And that's what I'll be talking about in James part 7. So here in verse 18, we're reminded that life is like the farming process. Life is like the farming process. First, we have the farmer, who is the wise man or the peacemaker. Okay, and then we have the climate, which in this verse is peace. And then we've got the harvest, which is righteousness. Okay, so if we think about these three things here, if the farmer wants to raise a harvest of righteousness, it cannot be done in an atmosphere of quarreling and bickering. Just as if a farmer wants an orange tree to grow outside, he's probably not going to want to plant it in Grand Forks, North Dakota, because it's just not going to make it. You know, it's just not the right climate. Okay, same thing with this. Righteousness cannot be produced where there's quarreling and bickering. It must take place under peaceful conditions. Romans 14:19. I think this one will be on the screen. Yep. So then let us pursue what makes for peace and for mutual upbuilding. That's what we should pursue in making peace. This is also true in sharing the gospel with others. Through peaceful conversations, we can have a righteous harvest of souls. And that's another element of true wisdom. Let's take a look at this. Proverbs 11:30. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and whoever captures souls is wise. When did you last capture a soul? And I know it's the Holy Spirit working through us. It's the Holy Spirit that changes people's hearts. It's Jesus' kindness that leads people to repentance. But God calls us to go. Don preached on that last week. We've got to open our mouths. We've got to share the gospel. And in doing so, you are wise. Whoever captures souls is wise. When we stand before the Lord, which all of us in this room will, at the judgment seat of Christ, he's not going to care how much money you made. He's not going to care how many toys you owned. He's not going to care how many trips you went on. He's going to say, who'd you bring with you to heaven? Who's here because of your faithfulness, good works, sharing Christ? And that's all that's going to be left. And some of us will have some reward. Some of us won't. It's going to be great, you know, going to heaven. But man, this is the one time in our existence, Christians, where we can talk to people who don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ. When we die and go to heaven, or when Jesus comes back, everyone's going to be saved. There will not be any lost people to talk to anymore. We've got to take advantage of this short period in our existence. We've got to capture souls. And we can only do that through the grace of Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit working through us. So let's ask ourselves these questions before we wrap it up here. A couple questions you can think on, ponder on. Do I respect the proud men of the world more than the humble believer in the Lord Jesus? Do I serve the Lord without caring who gets the credit? Am I guilty of flattery in order to influence people? Do I harbor jealousy and resentment in my heart? Do I resort to sarcasm and unkind remarks? Am I pure in thought, in speech, in morals? These are just a few things that we could be doing to just examine our own lives. And then a closing verse to ponder, Galatians 5:25. If we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. And then that will be true wisdom. So once again, the big idea today, if you remember anything, true wisdom is lived out by the Spirit. Let's do that this week as we go. Let's let our good works and our humility be lived out and show the world that in Christ, because of what he's done, we are truly wise when we live our lives that way. Let's pray, and then we've got one last song. Music people, come on up. Lord, thank you so much for this time. I pray that we would go out today and demonstrate true wisdom. We'd go out this week, this month, the rest of this year. We'd continue to grow in true wisdom. Lord, I just need a lot of work still, growing in humility, growing in just demonstrating my faith, sharing Christ with others, being peaceable, all those things that we talked about. So Lord, I just pray that you'd help us to grow in those things and to continue to trust in the Spirit to lead us in the right direction. We need your help every day, Jesus. Pray you'd renew us through prayer and the Word, and we'd follow your lead. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.